6th, 2026, 9 o'clock a.m. I'm Phil Albrecht, hearing examiner for Kitsap County. Today, holding a hearing on some applications for an accessory dwelling unit, specifically a conditional use permit, a shoreline conditional use permit, and a shoreline substantial development permit. This is for file numbers 24-03301, 25-01632, and 25-03338. The hearing format will be, we'll start off the presentation from staff. Looks like Ms. O'Connor is raring to go there, so we'll let her give us an overview of the project at the beginning. After that, then we'll move on to the applicants if they want to say anything. And the applicants, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to, but that'll be your opportunity. After that, then we'll move on to public comments, and at least virtually doesn't look like we have many members of the public out there. And Ms. Jones, you're shaking your head. It looks like nobody in the meeting room either. That's always good for the applicant. Yeah, so that's good news for the applicant. After the public portion, we'll go back to Ms. O'Connor to answer any questions that might have been asked, and that's her chance to provide rebuttal evidence if she finds that necessary. Then applicant gets final word. They also get a chance to provide rebuttal testimony as well as a matter of due process. And I have 10 business days to issue a decision. The shoreline conditional use permit, that is a final decision has to be made by Department of Ecology, actually. That's not going to be finalized by the county, has to go there. But the other two permits will be subject to final decision from my end. So that's kind of the overall process there. By state law, I'm only allowed to consider evidence that's put in the record today. That way we're all on a level playing field and everyone knows what information was considered for that final decision. I didn't get to talk to staff about this project or the applicant or anybody or read about in the papers. Everything I know is going to be from the staff report and exhibits that were submitted in the record today. And Ms. O'Connor has her staff report recommendation for approval is based on a lot of documentation. This is pretty common for these kind of permits. I'm going to share my screen real quick. And you should be seeing right now is the exhibit list that Ms. Jones put together. We've got a total of 28 documents. These are available online to anyone who needs to see them. And it's just a really brief overview composed of the staff reports. And we had the concurrency analysis, which deals with transportation, drainage, geotechnical, or I should say geological issues, stormwater review, and then the site plans, the floor plans, and landscaping plans. As is very important for these shoreline permits, there is a no net loss report, which is, assesses the impacts to the environmental resources of the shoreline. The only public comment we got was from the Department of Ecology, and we got some notice documents, that kind of thing. So a total of 28 documents at this point. Just want to ask if anybody needs to see any of those documents or has any objection to the entry in the record. If you're participating virtually, just click on the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. And if you're in the meeting room, just wave your hand and Ms. Jones will recognize you. So no takers, right, Ms. Jones? So I'll go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through 28 and I'll stop sharing my screen. And Ms. O'Connor, let me swear you in at this point. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Okay, hello, good morning. My name is Amanda O'Connor, and I am a senior planner representing the Kitsap County Department of Community Development. As part of this review, this is a proposal that we believe will help provide additional housing options for Kitsap County and furthers the county goal of encouraging the provision of affordable housing. Moment. I'm trying to forward the slide, I apologize. There we go. All right, so the proposal today is to replace a carport built in 1962 with a two-story structure on a 1.21-acre parcel located in the Rural Conservancy Shoreline jurisdiction. The structure includes a new carport and an 864-square-foot accessory dwelling unit, or ADU, as I'll refer to it moving forward, with a deck above the new carport. The proposal will not increase the amount of impervious surfaces on the site. The applicants are James D. and Tamara E. Glenn. The permits were deemed complete at varying times due to the variation of times of each submittal. Shoreline jurisdiction of a rural conservancy requires a conditional use permit for ADUs, which is where we have our shoreline conditional use permit. The rural residential zoning requires a conditional use permit for a detached ADU, which is where we get our CUP for conditional use permit for the ADU. as this project is substantial development within the shoreline and does not meet exemption criteria and SSDP was required. It was determined that the permits could be reviewed simultaneously. As such, a combined notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 land use and development procedures, which provided recipients with project information and opportunity for public comment. And pursuant to WAC 197-11355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process for this project. And ultimately, the project was determined to be SEPA exempt. No appeals were filed, therefore the SEPA determination is final. Public comment did come, as mentioned, from the Department of Ecology with requests for more robust analysis of Kitsap County Code 22500-100D3 with outlines that the requirements for conditional use permit on the shoreline and further discussion of mitigation sequencing management policies within the Rural Conservancy shoreline designation and mitigation planting plant selection of a cultivar rather than native. This was addressed in the response prepared by the applicant's biologist in their submittal accepted January 9th, 2026. I believe that's Exhibit 23. And this will also be discussed at different points in the presentation. After review, staff found the biologist's response to sufficiently address the comment. This provides an overview of the location of the site in Kingston, just south of the Kingston Ferry in northern Kitsap. Again, the parcel is just over 1.2 acres, and a shoreline parcel largely covered with lawn and a viburnum hedge running along the southern property line and the Puget Sound on its eastern border. The property owners constructed a 2,286 square foot single family residence, detached carport, and hard shoreline stabilization, or bulkhead, in 1962. A shed was constructed in 2023. Kitsap PUD-1 provides potable water. An existing septic provides sanitary sewage disposal on site. An easement to Jefferson Point Road provides direct access to the project site. And the parcel contains mapped critical areas that I'll go over on the next slide. The stormwater quantity and quality control connects to an existing drainage conveyance to the ordinary high water mark. Again, the site does contain critical areas. We have the open water there, shoreline associated wetlands, erosion hazards, landslide hazards, and FEMA flood hazard. There are a number of relevant code sections that were applied during the review of the proposal. The proposed ADU is designed to meet all the criteria of 17415015, which outlines the requirements for an accessory dwelling unit located outside an urban growth area. In meeting with criteria set forth in 22400105, which is proposed development, the proposed project will not need future shoreline stabilization and has been located landward to minimize the need for additional shoreline stabilization. The proposed ADU is sufficiently set back to not affect existing shoreline stabilization, and the proposed plantings of native shrubs will enhance shoreline function. Excuse me. In regards to 22400115 critical areas, the proposed project is outside the 130-foot shoreline buffer, therefore does not require additional vegetation conservation buffers. However, some work will occur within the 15-foot building setback to the buffer with the removal of four mature native rhododendrons and a shrubby dogwood. This impact occurs outside the standard buffer, and thus a 0.5-to-1 mitigation ratio applies. The applicant proposes to achieve no net loss by planting four north line service berry along the bulkhead landing. This mitigation planting meets the intent of the code by enhancing native vegetation within the buffer. The permit is also conditioned to require removal of debris from the bulkhead. Okay, and then lastly for this slide, when reviewing against 22400-140 bulk and dimensional standards in the Rural Conservancy designation, Lot size and setbacks are regulated by Title 17. Buffer is regulated by Title 22. And impervious area is regulated by 22,400/125. And the maximum building height is 35 feet in the rural residential zone. The development of this ADU meets all of those code sections. In regards to 22,500/100B, which provides the criteria for what a shoreline substantial development permit is and how it is to be reviewed, this was followed and a condition of approval to stop excavation or construction and notify the appropriate agency or tribes if cultural significant artifacts are discovered. 22,500/100D3 addresses the criteria for the shoreline conditional use permit, which was applied to ADUs in the Rural Conservancy shoreline designation and requiring it for the specific use. 22,400/120 and 22,200/125 are both addressed as the project is outside the 130-foot vegetation conservation buffer, and North Line serviceberry shrubs will be planted along the bulkhead landing. The addition of this native vegetation ensures no net loss of shoreline ecological function and is furthered by the condition of approval to remove debris from the bulkhead. As such, we recommend approval for all three permits as conditioned. Thank you.
All right, perfect. So you said that shoreline conditional use permit is required because it's an ADU in that shoreline designation. Is that what triggered it?
Correct.
Oh, okay. All right. And then also, it's kind of, I don't know, do you know, is the applicant's no net loss consultant present today? Do you know?
Liliana, I haven't seen who's
there. There is no one online or in the hearing room. No.
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you real quick. And I've had some people take the position that you don't need to do no net loss unless you're in a shoreline buffer. And there's just a little language in their no net loss report, which kind of suggests possibly that that's the position they took, because page 22 of the no net loss report says all project impacts are within the 15-foot building setback. I mean, do you know, I mean, did they make that determination because they didn't believe no net loss applied outside of the buffers, or was it simply because, from what I recall, the only impacts are the removal of some plants within the building setback? Was that the reason why they said that? Do you know?
I believe that they were trying to account for all impacts as the, especially with the Rural Conservancy jurisdiction requiring maintained shoreline ecological function. So having that no net loss speaks to any perceived impacts to include those within the construction setback. So it's away from the buffer, the 130-foot buffer.
Okay. And, you know, also the Department of Ecology, you know, one of their comments was to push this home further back under mitigation sequence under the avoidance criterion. And I think the biologist's response was simply that there's no need to push it back further because all impacts are accounted for. I mean, is there room to push it further back? It looks like there was on the site plan.
To push it further towards the driveway. I don't remember there being too much play, as they're also trying to stay within the footprint of the existing structure. Obviously, there's a slightly enhanced footprint there.
Yeah, because I mean, I know there's some drain fields landward of it, but it looked like even from the drain fields in the house, there was still some wiggle room. But yeah, it doesn't.
Did he freeze?
Make a huge difference anyway. So, okay, so good staff report.
You did cut
out. Let's move on to the applicant. Oh, sorry.
You did cut out for a moment. So if you asked any question, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, no more questions. Yeah, that's odd. Yeah, it's the first time that I have got a message saying unstable network connection. So we're a little off today, I guess. Okay. But no more questions. Let's move on to applicant comments, if any.
We do not have the applicants online nor in the hearing room.
Okay, what about public?
We have no members of the public online or in the hearing room.
Oh, that's too easy. I need one of your big appeals again, Ms. Jones. But
if it makes you feel better, we have a leak somewhere in the building, so that's exciting. But
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll get you out of here as soon as I can. So anyway, thanks all for participating today. I can go ahead and close the hearing. It looks like a pretty straightforward approval. I mean, all the you know, criteria met pretty soundly here, I think, from what I've seen so far. So we'll get that decision out within the next couple of weeks. As I mentioned, and as I'm sure planning staff knows, the Department of Ecology still has to approve the conditional use permit at least, but the other two, at least I can get the final decision and make a recommendation for approval on the DOE permit. So anyway, thanks all for participating today, and we're adjourned. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Hearing Examiner.